201. All right. While you're there, I want to talk to you for just a few minutes. Today, I'm going to finish this series that I've been in entitled Soul Man. And I'm going to take a look today at the part that love plays in the healing of the soul. Love plays a huge part in the healing of the wounds of the inner man. But before we go there, let me recap real quickly. Last time that we were together, we talked about two other things that help free and heal the soul, and one of them was the blood of Jesus. Everybody say the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus, shed through the death of Jesus, provides for the payment of the penalty for our sins and frees us from the control of sin. So it pays the price for the penalty and frees us from the control of sin. And not just our own sins, but sins that have been committed against us by others. And remember, we don't have time to go into all that deeply. If you need to study that, it's online. But dead people are not controlled by habits. You can be an alcoholic before you die. We can walk up to your casket after you're dead. We can put a beer in your hand or a bottle of Jack Daniels, whatever. You're not going to drink it. Why will you not do that? Because you're dead. And once you die, the control of sin is broken off of you. So through the death of Jesus, we all who are Christians died to the power of sin. So whenever the enemy comes against me to try to tempt me to do something, I just say, I'm dead. I'm dead to all of that. Now the good news is there's a little bit more to the story. Okay? Because the other deliverer and healer of the soul is the resurrection power of Jesus. And once you die in Christ, the only way for you to live any longer is through the resurrection power of the Holy Spirit. And the power of the Holy Spirit makes all things possible. Everybody say, all things are possible to him who lives in faith. The power of the Holy Spirit provides us the ability to believe the words of God and to do the works of God. And you know what it does? It creates excellence of the soul. It brings moral excellence into our soul. It brings the ability for us to live a life that's pleasing to God, whereas before we were born again, we just couldn't do that. We might have wanted to do it, but we couldn't do it on a consistent basis. Now, as I said earlier, today I want to finish by taking a look at love. Now, all you guys, we're going to talk about the love of God for the rest of our life. We'll study the love of God for the rest of our life. I mean, it's just because God is just so massive and so amazing. But love brings healing to our soul, and I want to explore that today. So John chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 3 through 7. Now, this is Jesus' part of conversation with Nicodemus when he came to Jesus at night. Nicodemus was a ruler among the Jewish people. He came to Jesus at night looking for something. He started off with an affirmation. We know you're a man sent from God, for no one could do the things that you do unless God be with him. But Jesus knew that Nicodemus was looking for something else. He had a question that was rattling around inside of him, and so Jesus went straight to the question to answer it for him. And Jesus said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the dominion of the King of Heaven." Everybody say, born again. Born again. What does that mean? Born again. Born again. So Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he's old?" You know what? I got saved when I was, 24 years old. So at 24, I was born again. And so Nicodemus said, "How does this process work? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus answered, most assuredly. Now, boy, Jesus keeps saying most assuredly, because he wants Nicodemus to know that he's telling him the truth. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water, okay, saved, raised up through the waters of baptism, and the Spirit, buried by death, we talked about the blood of Jesus, raised to live in the resurrection power of Christ, he cannot enter or experience the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And then I love what he said. He said, do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. And the rest of that's gobbledygook. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. Now, brothers and sisters, here's what I'm trying to say. If you weren't parented right the first time, you need to be reparented. Now, how many of you in here had perfect parents? I'm not talking about good parents. I'm talking about perfect parents. Perfect. Never did. They never made a mistake. I got one hand up over here. I want to meet your parents. I know your parent. All right, put your hand down. You have a good parent, a loving parent, but not perfect. Perfect person is someone who's never sinned or never made a mistake in action or attitude. Never had an omission. Never not done something when they should have done something. And some of us had little or no background, good positive background with parents. Some of you, your parents were in such bad shape that they couldn't parent you. Some of you, your parents were nowhere around when you were raised. Some of you, your parents were around, but you wish they hadn't have been. Because your parents were struggling mightily, okay? Some of you had parents that stayed together, but they themselves had issues that when you begin to grow, it begins to cause you problems. And so if you weren't parented well, or you have gaps in that parenting process, then when you get born again, what did Jesus say? Jesus said, unless a person is born again, he cannot experience the things of the kingdom of heaven. So what we have to be has to happen to us is we have to be born into and reparented in a new experience for the healing of our souls and the deliverance of our bondages. Everybody with me so far? All right. Now, Christ heals our wounds through love in two primary ways. But before I jump into the two ways, let me say something about love this morning. In our society, we have love and tolerance all confused. Okay? Love and tolerance is all confused. Now, let me just throw something out there to you. Let's talk about tolerance for a second. Let me show you the difference between tolerance and love. Would you want a physician or a doctor who tolerated the cancer within you if he saw it? Hey, the cancer's a living cell. May not be healthy for you, but it's a living organism within you. And so, therefore, I'm just going to ignore the fact that it's there and just let live and let live. Let the cancer cells live and let you live as well. Problem is, you're not going to live with that. Do you want a law enforcement that completely practices tolerance? Do you want you're a parent? Do you want to be a parent that completely practices tolerance with zero discipline? In Hebrews chapter 12, it says this. It says that the Lord disciplines those whom he what? Whom he loves. Discipline is a product of love. And so therefore, but we in our society have tolerance and love all confused. We think to love someone means just to live and let live. Hey, whatever's going on with you, and even if I have something that can help that, okay, I just let it go. I just ignore it. I just say, it's not loving for me to address it. Now, I'm going to tell you what, if we had a God who confused love and tolerance, then none of us would walk in victory. The Lord loves fiercely, and because He loves fiercely, He goes after the things that are in your life to destroy you. Okay? And I'm just going to say a few things this morning so those of you who don't know whether you should be here or not can make up your mind. It's one thing to love, it's another thing to feed off of somebody. Okay, if you're in a relationship, okay, with somebody and they're pushing you towards sin or involving you in sin or begging you to be in sin, then that's a relationship, that's not a love relationship. Okay, they don't really love you. I'm not saying the potential might not be there through true repentance to get things right, but if somebody's forcing you into sexual sin or begging you into sexual sin or pushing you into sexual sin, they don't love you. They're thinking about themselves at this moment right now. You know, and another thing, I can't understand why we as a church and why the church in general is so afraid of those that are struggling with homosexuality and lesbianism. Why are we so afraid of that? Why are we afraid of that? Okay? Because I understand that the lifestyle of homosexuality and lesbianism comes from pain, confusion, experimentation, somebody else feeding on someone. Shouldn't we have compassion for that? Instead of pushing people away? How do we have the right to push people away when in Romans chapter 1, it says it equates homosexuality and lesbianism in the same category as heterosexual sin? So why do we judge them so harshly? And you know what? I'm not saying that we need to embrace homosexuality and lesbianism as a viable lifestyle, but you have to understand what's going on. And what we have to do is we have to not embrace homosexuality and lesbianism as a viable lifestyle, but we better embrace the homosexual and lesbian or those that are struggling with it. They need you. Why are you afraid? All of us are going to be involved in this reparenting process, okay? And this helping us discover who God's created us to be and to be healed and delivered, okay? We're not going to get into tolerance, but we're not going to ignore love. We abandon love, we don't have anything else. We might as well shut down. We won't. In you lies that power we sang about this morning to break through any barrier in anyone else's life. In you lies the power of rescue for every single person. Love. Everybody say love. Now, God's going to love us back into health in two primary ways. One of them is a one-on-one love relationship with Jesus. Okay? Christ takes us where we are, and He loves us back into health. His love begins to heal the wounds of the soul. And soul wounds are usually caused by neglect, abandonment, abuse, disappointment, tragedy, those type of things. And while God doesn't take a huge eraser and just walk into our past and erase those events from ever happening, He doesn't do that. But what He does do is He speaks tenderly, authoritatively, and specifically to each hurt. Now, this process takes some time and attention on your part. And you have to know where you are. And you're not the one who determines where you are. God determines where you are. And so if you're in a period of healing in the soul, you need to take the time and pay the attention that it takes to get that thing healed. I can't be so busy I never take time to allow God to speak to my hurts in His presence. If you don't focus, your healing may never happen, or at the best, it'll take years. You focus, it'll happen a lot quicker. Okay? And how does it happen? The healing happens through God Himself speaking words of affirmation to you, acceptance to you, Him giving you visions of things, Him giving you dreams, Him pointing out blockages in your life, Him confronting lies and unhealthy, unbiblical belief in you that have been forged about yourself, about God, the world, and others as I've gone through pain. Now, let me tell you a little bit about how this happened to me. When I first started when God first began to realize that, speak to me, that I needed healing in my soul, was at the 7-Eleven parking lot. And I told y'all this just recently. God spoke to me. When I got in my car, I had a big gulp in my hand. Didn't tell Rhonda about that, but I had a big gulp in my hand. And I was sitting there, and the Lord spoke to me and said, I am going to teach you to be motivated by love and not fear. Well, that sounded good. I was kind of on board with that because I didn't completely understand that. So I didn't understand all that He was saying, but I was open to the process. And I understood when He began to speak that to me, where I was and what was going on and what the focus should be on during that period of time. You know what I mean? And I said, Lord, I'm afraid. If I'm not afraid of You or don't have fear, I won't obey. And the Lord said, I understand. He goes, that's because you don't understand love. He goes, but I'm going to teach you. And the process started. It started that day. And one of the things that I did was during that period of time, and I'm going to talk about something else that happened here on my second point. But one of the things that happened during that period of time is I didn't shut down everything else, but I focused primarily on what God was doing in my life. I got the book, Love is a Choice. I got the workbook, and I took it to work with me every day, and at lunch I sat there and worked it, and I sat there and I thought about what God was saying to me. And anytime He started speaking something to me, I grabbed it, and I focused on incorporating it into my life, letting it realign what was happening with me and who I was. And that's what I did. And I did that over and over. And I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, it was one of the most special times of my life. Because God sat down with me in that lunchroom and He reparented me. He spoke to me. I can remember I had a hard time with God so loves the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That was too big for Parkey. That was too impersonal. So I had a hard time with that one. I needed to know God loved me. How many of you can understand what I'm saying? I needed it to be personal. So one day, I had a vision. I had a vision. And I was standing on the street where Jesus was walking down the street to go toward Calvary. And I was standing on the street, and I wasn't in the front of the crowd. I was kind of at the back. And I was watching all this unfold. I was watching Him struggle, watching Him bleed. And right in front of me, right where I was, He fell under the weight of the cross and just fell there. And when I was watching Him, I didn't think He was going to get up because I didn't think He could. And then all of a sudden, nothing was said. He just turned His head and He looked at me right in the eyes, laying on the ground. He was like this. He did like this, and He looked up. And I was standing up here. And he looked at me right in the eyes, and then nothing was said. You know what he did? Pushed up, picked up the cross, and kept going. And at that moment, I knew he kept going because he saw me. And he knew that I needed it. And that was enough. That was enough. And in that moment, the love of God became real to Parkey. Those are the kind of things that he does for you during this time. He makes it real for you during this period of time. I had someone I couldn't forgive. And I was begging God. I said, God, I know I need to do this. I just can't. I feel like I can't. I acknowledge I need to. And I want to, but you got to do something. God gave me a dream, a vision, another vision. It wasn't a dream, it was a vision. And in my vision, I saw this person sitting, unable to sleep all through the night, tormented by the memories of the things they had done wrong. And with me, how they had treated me badly. And when I saw that, all of a sudden my heart broke for that person. And then the next thing I knew, I said, Lord, please don't hold anything against them on my account. Please. It's okay. Breakthrough. Everybody say breakthrough. Breakthrough. Those were the kind of one-on-one things God did with me. That's what he was telling Nicodemus that day. Nicodemus, you don't understand what you're talking about. He goes, this is going to go to a level like you've never known before. He said, I'm going to come in and I'm going to visit with you. And I'm going to speak to you. And one day I was sitting there and I thought, Lord, are you really with me in everything? What do you want me to do? Who am I? Had another vision. In this vision, I was sitting on a horse and I love the creaking of the saddle when you're sitting on the horse. And I was sitting on the horse and I was looking out in front of me and at this vast horizon. The next thing you know, I was cognizant of somebody beside me on another horse. I looked over as Jesus in the saddle on the other horse. He's sitting there and he's looking out there at this wide thing. And you know what he looked at me? He looked at me and he said, ride with me. He said, ride with me. And at that point in time, the only thing I wanted out of my life was to go with him. Everybody say, ride with me. Same thing my pawpaw did. Some of you who were here last week know what I'm talking about. He just said, ride with me. And the Lord looked at me and said, ride with me. And man, it did something inside of me I can't describe. And so those are the type of things God wants to do with you and will do with you. And you have to take the time to let these things happen. Okay? In 1 John chapter 4, verses 15 through 16, it says this. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And look at the next sentence. This is what God wants for you. And we have known, not heard about, not fantasized about knowing, but we have known, and look at the next word, and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. That's a life that's founded on the rock, a life that's stable, a life that goes through ups and downs, but you know what it always has as an anchor of the soul, the love of God. It's healed. Not perfect, but it's healed. It's healed by the love of the Lord. Now, the second way that the Lord heals us is by using the same thing that hurt you. Now, what usually hurts us? Life, people. If you have a phobia of heights, how are you going to get over it? I'm asking you a question. First thing you're going to do is you're going to go into the psychologist. John Saville, you're going to go see John Saville. John's a Christian psychologist. He's going to love you. He's going to sit down and start talking to you a little bit about heights and about different dimensions and about security of certain places and about mechanisms that are put in place to protect you from falling. All that's good. One day, John's going to say, let's meet next week at the parking garage down on Commerce and whatever, 3rd Street. And you're going to meet on the very top. And John's going to take you by the hand. He's going to walk you over to the edge. And he's going to say, let's have our talk right here today. The only way you're going to get over that is by facing that. Facing that in love and in a safe environment so that all the lies and all the other things that you believed about it can be destroyed. But guess what? You need somebody with you. You need somebody with you. If you've been wounded by people, how do you think you're going to get over it? By getting back with healthy people again. Not by not being around people. That's what a lot of people do. Well, I'm not going to be around anybody anymore. I'm going to isolate myself. I'm going to get over here. I'm going to tell you, God has been showing me that for every wall we build in our life to protect ourselves, we wall out the very thing that we need to heal us. Every time you try to take the role of protector in your own life, you have accidentally or unknowingly walled out things that are essential to your healing and your deliverance. And a sane life. Jesus said it, he who saves, seeks to save his life will in that process what? Lose it. But he who loses his life, who lets the walls come down in his life, who says, I'm scared to death, but I'll let the walls come down and lets me in and lets other people in, he'll save it. He'll find his life. He'll find it. And I know it's a scary thing when you've been hurt by people to let people in. You've got to let the right people in. But look what Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12 says. And most of us think of this as only being a verse about marriage, but it's not. It's about companionship. It says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. If they fall, one can lift up his companion. But woe to him who's alone when he falls. For he has no one to help him up. Two lie down together, they'll keep warm. Unless you got my wife's cold feet. But how? How can one be warm alone? And though one may be overpowered by another, two working together can win the battle. Is that it? No. And a threefold cord's not quickly broken. Not just a twofold cord. Me and God can do this. Me and God. It's just me and God. Only me and God. Well, if sometimes you and God can work things out, but sometimes that ain't what God's decided to do. Let me tell you another little quick story about Parky. Oh, God, I'm out of time. I was used to being healed directly between me and God. I had been healed dramatically of something between God and I. And I'm talking about an inner thing, just working with Him. The next time I had a real traumatic arrival again of panic attacks and phobias, and all of this other stuff come up in my life, I thought, hey, God's going to do this the same way He did before, me and Him. And it kept going, kept going, kept going, wasn't comfortable. So I went into her mentor, this little guy down here, sitting down here, Pastor Roy, went into a mentor, talked to him about it. He said, you need to go get some help. I said, no, I don't want to do that. People can hurt you. I don't want people meddling in this. That's what I was thinking. I don't want people meddling in this. Plus, if God really loved me, He'd do this the way. In other words, I was putting the demands on the doctor, telling the doctor how to help me. You understand? How foolish is that? Some of you think you got a medical doctor degree because you can read the computer. You never operated on one person. Never had to diagnose anybody. Well, my wife has. But you never had to do any of that kind of stuff. Okay? 5 years I went through that process. Everybody say 5 years. Deep depression. I remember 1 year I went to a Super Bowl party. The darkness inside of me was so dark, I didn't know if I was going to survive. I wasn't going to kill myself, but if that would have been an option, that would have been something I'd have thought about. That's how bad it was. 5 years. God, this is the way you're going to do it. God, this is the way you're going to do it. God, this is the way you're going to do it. He loved me. He loved me. He loved me. He'd sidle up next to me and say, I love you. He'd say, I love you so much. And I'd say, please heal this. He said, I'm going to. Just do what I'm telling you to do. I don't want to do that. Oh, son. I'm here. But there's no shortcut to the way we're going to do this. He says, because this is essential to your development. And you know what? Love held its ground. Love held its ground. Everybody say, love held its ground. And finally, one day after 5 years, I broke. I said, I'll talk to Bozo the Clown. It'll help. Well, don't go talk to Bozo. Find the person that God, because God's already got that person there. You may have to look a little bit, but they're there. God's going to direct you right to them. Okay, as you look. But finally, I got there, and within 4 months, I was feeling better. 5 years of misery. Good God. And I thought, how stupid have I been? Everybody say, how stupid have I been? You need God and you need somebody else in the body of Christ to help you walk through this. Some of you are sitting on the same row with that person right now. Yes, I've had a revelation for some of you. I just hadn't come and said anything yet. But some of you are right on the same row with them. Well, how does that get started? Do I need to put an ad in the paper or in the church bulletin? Sicko, need help. Call this number. That's the way you feel. You know what you do? You walk up to somebody. Or you got it, you know, you're walking around, you got a feeling about somebody. You just got a feeling. And you pray about it and say, Lord, lead me. And you walk up to them and you say, hey, my name's Parky. What's your name? Do you have a name? Yes, you do too. She don't want to be it, so I'll go to somebody else. That's okay. I still love you. And he says, my name's Steve. And you say, you know what? Lord's been kind of laying, you know, you on my heart just to get to know you a little bit. How about we go and meet for coffee one morning? Then when you get with them, you say, you know, I'm going through this period of real healing in my life. The Lord's taking me into that. And you start talking about it. And if it's God, all of a sudden, it'll come together. If it's not, you go to the next one. You don't give up. You go to the next one. Or you call Pastor Roy. You go to the next one. You say, you probably don't want to get to know me, do you? No, okay. Yeah, man, I'm talking about you. It's what you got to do. Some of you are so busy running around trying to heal your wounds through fun, drugs, alcohol, sex. And the more you run and the more you do, the more the wind blows through the holes in your soul. John Savelle said something to me I'll never forget. He said, Parky, the only way that a man can be healed is by another man. And what he meant by that is when we're struggling as men with who we are, a woman can't teach you as a man who how to be a man. But we just think if we can get a woman to look at us and go, you're the greatest thing in the world. Sexually, you're amazing. Oh, I just want to submit my life to you. And we think that's going to heal us. Ain't going to heal you. You need to get with your daddy God, and you need to get with another man, and y'all need to talk about life. I'll never forget that I did this with a guy. Yeah, I'm almost done, I know. I did this with a guy one time, and I talked to him about something that was going on in my life, and he looked at me, and he said, and I've said this before, but I don't care. He said, Parky, I don't know what you're going through, because I was going through some panic attacks and stuff at that time. He said, Parky, I've never been through that. I don't know what you're going through. But then all of a sudden, he was a big old guy. He went, tears went down his face. He goes, but I sure do love you. Oh, my God. That was like water. And all of a sudden, some of those wounds were just healed through that interaction. I don't have to be perfect to be loved. I can be loved. I can still be loved and valuable not having it together. You see what I'm saying? Final scripture. This is my prayer. Same prayer, Apostle Paul. Then we're going to go. Apostle Paul said, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in your inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in fear, in abandonment, in confusion, in doubt, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the dimensions of God's love? To know the love of Christ, which I'll never get to the end of knowing its depth, which passes knowledge. I know it and it's my heals me, but I'm swimming in an ocean that has no end. And it's just like the Dead Sea. How many of you have ever been to the Dead Sea in Israel? It can be so deep. And you could jump out in the deepest part of it and you won't drown. All you got to do is just sit there. That's the love of God. And you may be filled. Everybody say filled. Filled with all the fullness. The fullness of God. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so very much for your healing, your deliverance. We give you praise, and on this day we exalt you. Lord, I pray right now that those that need to press into healing of the soul will make a decision to do that. And Father God, that you're going to surround them and make yourself known to them like they've never understood before. And Father, I give you all the praise. And Lord, if there's anybody here today who is lost and doesn't know Jesus, is not in a life-giving relationship with you, I pray right now that they'll open their heart to you, ask you to forgive them and turn their heart toward you. Fill them with your Spirit. Kill the old life and raise them from the dead to walk in the new. And we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.